Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned into 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily day. Today, we are going to tap into the pulse of today's youth, and I have students from Florida High. I am glad to have Samantha Bickle. Samantha is a graduating senior. She will be attending TCC for 2 years, and then she plans to transfer to UNF for a major in special education.
Hi.
Glad to have you. Isaiah Edwards, also a graduating senior. He will be attending UCF. In the summer, he's going to be leaving in June. He's going to major in business and marketing and minor in sports business management.
Glad to be here.
And I have two students that at least I'll have at least for another year or two. And I have Ruby Castro, soccer, SGA, dance, marathon are her things, and she's a junior.
Hi, happy to be here.
Glad to have you. Will Pfeiffer, he is a sophomore. Baseball, SGA, and dance marathon.
Thank you for having me.
Always glad to have you. Illicit drugs include marijuana, hashish, cocaine, including crack, heroin, hallucinogens, and psychotherapeutic medication not taken under the health provider's provision. 2016 Monitoring the Future Survey of Drug Use and Attitudes Among 8th, 10th, and 12th grade students indicates encouraging news about youth drug use, including decreasing use of alcohol, cigarettes, and prescription pain relievers. No increase in the use of marijuana, decreasing use in inhalants, synthetic drugs, including K2 spice, bath salts, and a general decline over the last two decades in the use of illicit drugs. Unfortunately, new substances to get high are out there, and they're traveling really fast. It can be challenging to stay up on top of all the varieties of illicit drugs. What I want to do is just get your feel on what's happening as far as you know. I know that you all are not involved and don't really, you know, participate. But what we want to do is just kind of tap into what you see, what you hear, and your experiences. How would you characterize drug use and alcohol use overall among folks your age, in your age group? Don't really have to be your peers, but just folks in your age group. And I'll start with you and go around the court.
No, it's definitely out there. I agree. It's You can't really hide from it. But thankfully at Florida High, there's not as much as other schools. Kids at other schools, you know, and you hear stories and you just don't really want to put yourself with them, but it's definitely out there.
And what do you think it is about Florida High that, you know, says, hey, you don't see this as often? And that's to all of you, because I know it is different there.
I think that, I mean, I don't want to sound biased, but Florida High...
No, you can sound however.
Florida High, they kind of expect excellence in everything you do, so I feel like there's something you got to lead up to, you got to live your life up to, so...
So you're saying the expectations of the teachers and staff, that really has an influence on you? Because you all, I know you like to perform and you like to do well. And everybody is smiling. Okay, let me go around. Ruby.
Well, I was going to say not only, like, do the teachers expect, like, excellence from everyone, but it's also a smaller environment, so everyone knows everyone.
That's important.
So if a teacher, like, it can be more personal. And so if you are doing bad things, like, your teacher's going to, like, hold you accountable. Like, they're, like, word's going to spread, and they're going to hold you accountable. And, like, they want to see you, like, succeed. So they're going to, like, naturally try and, like, tell you to, you know, like, stop doing that stuff or, like, do better because you're representing a school, like, that is well known for excellence.
So the size has something to do with it. Okay. Samantha.
I would also say, since we're K-12, that our school has, like, no tolerance for drug or alcohol use, because we do have kids that are young and they do walk around our school as well as we do. So for them to be exposed to that at such a young age isn't tolerated at our school.
I don't know what else to say. That pretty much hit everything that I was going to say, but...
Let me just throw something in here. I'm not just talking about at your school, okay? Because what I'm trying to do is to kind of get cut into a picture of just teens in general. Now, I know most of the folks that you interact with may be, you know, your students, your peers at your school. But overall, you know, your interactions, what you hear. Because I know that we're going to find, because of the size and because of the K through 12 and knowing each other, I think has something to do with it, that your school really may not be typical, okay? So, again, I say that, and now maybe you can answer, Isaiah.
Well, I know I've heard some things about people that do these types of things, but I would say from what I hear, it's more of an outlet for them to, like, express themselves, like, other people may use these things to free their mind from their current situation. Mm-hmm. If they feel like, if I need to be high, then mm-hmm. I know how to act. Like, if I'm not high, then I don't know how to act. So
what about recreational use? And you know, just, oh, there's a party, we're just kind of hanging out. Where do things stand on that, though?
I think that also kind of ties in, like, what's going on in people's, like, normal lives. For, like, example, I know, like, with school and all, sometimes people get stressed out and, like, they think that, like, doing drugs or, like, mm-hmm. things of that nature is going to, like, help relieve, like, whatever they have going on. And I think that once they do, like, start doing things like that, they get into the wrong crowd and, like, those people, like, tell them, like, hey, let's go to parties, like, let's do this. And then that just, like, pulls them away from, like, what they were originally trying to, like, get away from, which is, like, all that stress and, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're nodding your head.
Yeah, I think she hit a really big point of other people. I feel like we're influenced by everyone we see, and if it's around us and we want to fit in, I think that they're going to try to do that. But if it's not around you, then it's not something you really live for. It's just, you have mm-hmm. to be exposed to it to then want to continue to do it.
How important is it to fit in? And when I say fit in, I'm just meaning generically. Don't mean just with jokes, but just how important is it to fit in?
I would say that a lot of people like to follow the trends that are going on. So I feel mm-hmm. since I know they're, like, vaping things kind of, like, big now mm-hmm. for people our age. And I feel like we're all just, or not like we all, but, like, people our age are always following, like, the trends. So, like, if they see someone doing, they're like, oh, that's really cool, let me do that. And then it just environments for all of us.
Okay.
I feel like, I mean, as important, I'm sorry, Isaiah, but as important, like, it sounds bad and it's the truth, but fitting in, you want to fit in, like, as much as you have to, like, you have to. It's, you can't. You want to be that person, like, the cool person, and there's different ways to do that. So there's good ways to fit in, like, you could be an athlete or really smart or whatever you want to do, but then there's also bad ways, and that involves drugs.
Mm-hmm. I feel like fitting in also makes you feel, like, more comfortable when you're, like, around the people that are doing that. So say if you're, like, the only person at, like, a party not doing it, everyone's just kind of, like, looking at you, like, what's your problem? So it's feel like you kind of want to make yourself feel comfortable in that environment, even if you don't, like, personally like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you all, the two of you, will be going to college, and it will be a different scene, okay? What do you anticipate?
Well, I mean, I know the party. I hear a lot of stuff about the party scene in college. Like, yes, there's going to be, like, maybe drinking, drugs, underage drinking, and stuff of that nature. But, I mean, if you're around it, you just have to be that person to say, no, I'm not going to participate in this in these types of activities. Or, like, if somebody offers you a drink or offers you something to smoke, just say no. I mean, you always, there's a pressure aspect to it, but you don't have to be the one to fold under the pressure and try and fit in. Because if you're trying to fit in with that crowd, then that's the crowd you shouldn't be hanging around anyway.
Yeah. In other words, if they can't take you for you and accept you for what you're about and where you're at, and you have to make some changes to fit into the group, what does that say?
Well, I also agree that there's going to be, like, a lot of peer pressure, mm-hmm. and I feel that me personally, I'm really excited to, like, meet new people when I go to college, mm-hmm. and I want to meet the people that are going to make me feel comfortable, like, no matter, like, what I do, or, like, they're not going to make me do something I don't want to do.
How do you, because it's sort of a, you want to fit in, and it's natural to fit in. I mean, at this age and time and development, and that it's natural that you would want to fit in. Yet, sometimes fitting in is not really what you want. How do you determine to say no? How do you handle saying no? How? Because it's not that easy.
I think you brought up a good point, because I know, like, for example, whenever my sisters ask me for something, like, whether it may be something that, like, I have to go through a lot to do, or, like, mm-hmm. something as simple mm-hmm. as, like, oh, can you, like, turn the lights off? Like, I can't say no. And it's just, like, I think that also comes out with my friends. Like, if my friends are like, hey, let's do this, I'm just like, it's like I don't really want to, but I guess mm-hmm. so.
Mm-hmm. But, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, maybe. So I think that there are, like, just some, like, there are people in the world that just, they can't say no. And I think, like, whenever people ask me to do things, like, hey, can you do this? Like, I'm just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, always, like, I can't, even if I don't have the time to do it, like, I will find the time to do it because I can't say no.
Mm-hmm. I agree that, like, some people can't say no, but from a personal aspect, I just put in my mind, like, if someone's going to ask me something, and if I did it, would I regret it in the end? And, like, what will my parents think? Well, like, would I be comfortable uh-huh. telling them? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then I probably should not do it. And I'm not going to lie, like, if I've asked myself and I said no, I have done it before. But, like, it's just not, you don't want to do it, and I regret it. But, mm-hmm. and I feel like we're going back to the college scene. I'm not anywhere close to that yet, but I feel like you're kind of, like, honestly cooler if you do say no, in my opinion, because that just takes a lot to do that. So, I mean, yeah, it sounds, but I feel like that's pretty, it's pretty great.
You're tuned into 411 Teen, and I've got dynamic students from Florida High. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This edition is looking at drugs and trends. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and joining me again at the table, I welcome Will Pfeiffer, Ruby Castro, Isaiah Edwards, and Samantha Bickle. Okay. Before we went on break, you were just getting ready to say something, Isaiah, and I had to interrupt you. Not allow you to start, whatever. So you got the floor.
Going back to the being able to say no, I feel like being able to say no is like an acquired skill. Like for some people, like, you being able to say no comes with your confidence level as you grow over time. Like, some people at the age of, like, when you're young, like, you want to do everything when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, so your natural response is going to be yes. But as you get older, like, things that you know are wrong will probably, like, bounce back. So, like, you're still in that kid mindset of being like, yeah, I want to do everything, so you're going to say yes. But if you can grow that acquired skill of being able to say no, like me, I'm probably going to say yes to everything, knowing me. Like, I know myself, and, like, I know I don't want to let anybody down. So, like, I'm going to say yes. But
if to everything?
Not to everything,
okay.
But to most situations.
Okay,
like, most situations that I
can't see.
Like, most situations that I know, I'll probably say yes, and, like, I won't get in trouble for. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
I know when to say no to certain situations as well, but that comes over time, being able to, like, mm-hmm. say no to some things and to know that you know are wrong.
And so it comes also with maturity.
Right.
Yeah.
Growing up, I was always told that I'll learn things through experience. And I feel like if you experience saying no once and you realize, I'm glad I said no, it's going to come easier the next couple times.
Correct. That's a good point. You're nodding your head to me.
I agree. I think it also involves morals, too. Like, you should be able to know, like, right from wrong. And if you know, like, I, like, personally have a guilty conscience. So I feel like if I did something, like, really bad, I'd have to, like, tell my mom because she's, like, kind of my best friend. I'd feel like I'd have to tell her, like, kind of, like, not, like, get forgiveness, but be like, okay, it's okay, you made a mistake, but you need to make sure you, like, know right from wrong and don't do that ever again.
Yeah. Going back to the knowing right from wrong, like, my dad always told me, he's like, wrong is wrong even if everybody's doing it, but right is right even if you're the only one doing it. So, like, it comes with that aspect as well. Like, you know it's wrong. Don't do it even if everybody else is doing it. But, like, if you're going to do the right thing, just being alone and being the only one not doing it comes with so much credibility in itself.
Okay. That sounds good. I mean, and if you operate by that, then you'll be in good shape. But, again, the problem is that people want to fit in or be accepted or be liked more. And so they feel like if I go along with the group or if I do what this person has asked me, then they'll like me better.
There's always a group for you. Like, there's no reason you should try to fit in with someone who you're really not supposed to be with, because there's other people that have been where you are and they said no and they're somewhere else and you just got to find them. Like, there's somewhere you can be. I've said no to many things, and I'm looking back, I'm glad I said no, because it – honestly, sports, like, without sports, I don't know where I would really be. Like, sports keeps you dedicated, and I know school does too, but outside of school, you really can't control what happens. But if I'm busy with sports, then it really keeps it off my mind.
It keeps you. Okay.
I also agree that there's some people that feel like they have to fit in with a certain group, but I would say that some people just aren't, like, they're not people that would stand up for themselves and necessarily that they want to, like, follow someone else. Like, they're not the type to be their own person and be their own leader. So I feel like that's why some people feel like they can't not say no.
Okay.
I was going to say that I agree with Will about what he said. Like, there's always going to be, like, people that are like you, like, that don't want to do the things that, like, the quote-unquote cool people are doing. And I just know that because, like I said, I don't really say no a lot. And I know that if I do surround myself by, like, the bad influences, that I'm just going to end up, like, doing those things. So, like, I try to surround myself that, like, with people that don't do bad things, that, like, try to be good people. And I don't know. And I, like, also what Sam said, like, if I ever did do anything bad, like, I would have, like, the guiltiest conscience. Like, I'm not that close with my parents, but I would go, like, straight home and say, I did this. Like, it would be so bad.
You would just feel bad.
I agree. I agree with Ruby, but I feel like since you have, like, such a great friend group and they also don't do things that would make you have to say no.
Well, they always say, you know, it's the company you keep. So if you are in company with people who have the same mindset that you may have, then
There's no reason to say no.
Yeah, there's no reason. Samantha, you mentioned some of the trends, and I wanted to ask all of you, what are the trends? I know e-cigarettes are a trend, and vaping is a trend. And, I mean, are there other things that we don't know, we meaning old folks who are out of it, don't know? Our trends, I mean, what are the trends among young folks today?
Tobacco's a big trend. It's not traceable, really. You can't be tobacco tested. I've never even heard of that. So I feel like, and I feel like that's just what their go away, and you can't really hide from it. So tobacco's a big trend.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me. When you say tobacco, what kind of tobacco use? I mean, are they putting it in the chewing tobacco?
Yeah, there's chewing tobacco. But that's not really a bit. That's not the biggest one. It's like the e-cigarettes, the vapes, the yeah, all of those are just you can't. Yeah, they're really around.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I was gonna say what he said about the vaping thing. I feel like people are thinking it's a trend, but it's actually something they're going to, like, get addicted to once they're, like, older and they're not going to be able to, like, break the habit. It's kind of like, it's, I don't know if it's, like, at the same extent as cigarettes, but I know that's kind of, like, what they were modeling when they made the thing. The vape. Yeah. So I feel like people aren't seeing the impacts that they're making on their lives right now, but I feel like as they grow older, then they're going to, like, have that addiction still.
Yeah, and another thing is that they really, they meaning the researchers, really are not sure about the impact at this point with e-cigarettes, yeah, because it's not clear. But it's got to be something negative. I mean, nicotine is what's vaporized, and nicotine is, although it's inhaled and it's not smoked, but so what does that say?
I feel like it goes to your lungs, right? Since they're inhaling it, so I feel like it'll cause a lot of lung damage once they get older.
Well, constant usage will, constant usage will cause lung damage or some stuff of that nature.
Well, are the people using it constantly, or
I have seen people that feel like they can't, like, not have it.
Oh, really?
Like, they're constantly, like, holding it.
So, they're just holding it.
Well, they use it, too. Like, I know some people, like, they'll have it, like...
They complain if they don't have
it. Yeah, like...
And they'll go crazy. Like, they will...
Really?
Yeah, they will lose their mind.
So it sounds like they are...
The addiction's already there.
Yeah, the addiction's already there.
That's okay.
Correct.
Addiction's already there.
Yeah.
I don't really understand, though, because... Like, I don't know personally, like, what it does.
What it does.
The addiction is the nicotine. With cigarettes, it's the nicotine. That's the whole big thing.
Yeah.
And your body craves it. You need it. Okay. When one is addicted, they need that substance. It gets to a point where the cells in your body, you might intellectually be saying, no, I'm not going to do this. But your body is saying, I need this. Yeah. I want this. You know, give me this. I need this to get me up. I need this to put me down, depending upon the addiction. So that's what's happening when someone is addicted. You know, it's not that easy to just say, I'm not going to do it. And that's one of the problems I know in addiction and counseling. Often family members or members who are close to the individual feel like, well, you ought to be able just to put it down. But it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And I know, like in some cases where there have been, like, long-term smokers for, like, over 20 years and stuff, like, it's not good for them to stop smoking. If they stop smoking, it's more likely for them to get lung cancer because their body needs it in the system. Like, it's no longer, like, them just, like, saying, like, I want this. Like, their body actually needs it at that point.
Yeah, well, their body is craving it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need it. That's what an addiction is.
Yeah.
Their body needs it to function, basically, okay? And when they don't get it, then there's some reaction to it.
Correct.
Their body goes into a reaction when they don't get the substance, okay? So, again, we tend to think that folks are just, you know, they don't need this, but they do need it. I mean, and nicotine is one of the most addictive substances, okay? That cigarette addiction is nothing to take lightly. So, yeah, something to think about.
I've personally seen someone go through the struggle of trying to quit cigarettes, and it takes such a long time for them to be able to be like, I don't even want that anymore, because they're constantly feeling like, oh, I need to do that because I've done it for so long.
Or their triggers. Sometimes individuals, you know, when they eat or after they eat, they need a cigarette, okay? When they're stressed, they need a cigarette, okay? So there are things that may be going, there's so many variables that are involved there that it's not that simple to, like you're saying, Samantha, to just stop.
I know someone that used to, like, go outside to read all the time, and then she would smoke while she was outside, so she had to, like, make herself not read outside anymore and, like, change the way that she was living so she could, like, be able to not think, oh, I'm outside, I should probably smoke, but she would have to, like, read inside instead of going outside.
I play baseball, and baseball is, like, a big area for tobacco. Like, it's not now, I mean, yes, nowadays, but not me. But, like, personally, I know a family member who they won't I mean, they will come to my games, but when they're at my games, it's just to, like, around the atmosphere, like, sure. Dipping tobacco. It's like they really want it. And they quit, but it's just...
It's very
like, for the
hard.
First, yeah, for the first season that they quit, it was, like, tough for them to come and stay because they'd want it and it'd be... But now it's all good. It just took a while.
And they associate using it with the baseball. Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. There's so many associations and variables that play into addiction. What about marijuana? How popular is it? It's very, very common, and, you know, we're going back and forth at the state level as far as, you know, well, we don't have recreational marijuana, what we have it for medicinal purposes, and right now they're talking about, well, if they're for medicinal purposes, then can we smoke it? And there are people who have chronic terminal illnesses. I'm thinking of ALS now. You know, there's several people who have testified that, you know, they've lived a long time with ALS, and marijuana has had the medicinal components to it. Let's talk about marijuana.
I have no problem with medical if they feel like they need it, and I feel like if I had a problem like that and I wanted it, I don't feel like there's any reason you should really stop me. But if it's recreational and there's no reason you need it, it's just for the fitting in purpose, then I feel like, yeah, it's not needed if it's going to hurt you.
Well, the key, though, what you put there is if it's going to hurt you. But, you know, alcohol can hurt you, and it's legal. I mean, I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
I mean... I just don't know. Where do you, Isaiah?
So, understanding that we do now have medicinal marijuana purposes, and the conversation is the recreational use of marijuana. But kids now, or typically in our age group, find a way
okay.
to get their hands recreationally on marijuana.
Right.
Now, the problem is when they use it, they love the feel. They love the outcome. They love the feeling of, wow, this is what I do with marijuana and what happens to me. Mm-hmm. That feeling is great. Mm-hmm. Now, I know some people that do smoke, and they like to write. Like, they like to write music on their own. But when they're not feeling the way that they are underneath the pressure of marijuana, they can't write, and they can't use that as their outlet. So I understand, like, people people feel like the necessity of basically of needing that high to do what they want to do, and that outlet of feeling being able to write what they want to do. There was a
I mean, excuse me for interrupting, but, you know, there are a lot of artists that will talk about, you know, yeah, marijuana is fine. I take it to loosen up or to do this, to do that. And I'm not putting a judgment on it one way or the other. I'm just trying to get a read on it, among your group.
Well, I was going to say that, like, nowadays, like, people are just like, oh, like, marijuana, like, it's whatever. Like, just do it. Like,
yeah,
it's
harmful.
Normal. Like, my parents are like, that's crazy because, like, in my day, like, you would never see, like, if somebody did do that, like, they would be the outcast because, like, they would be the ones, like, oh, that's the worst child. Like, you don't want, like, your children being around them. And I think that it's just getting worse over the years because I know, like, now people are just like, oh, the high of marijuana, like, isn't enough anymore. Like, I need something else. Because, like, I know some people, they'll be like, oh, well, I, like, you know, marijuana is, like, not enough, so I have to do dab, which is, like, concentrated.
See, it's I'm like totally yeah. out of, it's I like, don't know.
it's like concentrated
what's
marijuana.
Yeah, it's like.
And, like, some people go as far as, like, saying, like, oh, I'm going to do acid.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I know what acid is.
Yeah, like, they'll be like, oh, I'm going to do acid because, like, marijuana is not enough for me anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like we're becoming desensitized over time.
Yeah.
Like,
but with marijuana, you know, it's a big debate because there's some places marijuana is legal. How do you address that? I mean, our state says no, but then it says, okay, medicinal is fine.
Okay,
but,
maybe.
You know, maybe.
All right.
Okay.
Go on.
I know. Oh, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So I went to Amsterdam this summer, and it's legal there. Right. And the, like, impact there isn't, like, no one really does it. Like, you would see maybe, like, a few people, like, smoking it. But the, like, rate of it here, like, everyone's like, how do I get my hands on that? Well, it's, like, given to them there, so they're not, like, sneaking around trying to get it. So, honestly, like, a lot of people don't really do it over there, that they have the access.
They have the
ability. So, I feel like if, like, I don't really want it to be legal because it really just kind of, like, scares me. Like, drugs in general scare me. Like, alcohol doesn't really scare me that much.
But that's a drug.
I know, but I feel
it's
like
a drug, and alcohol's pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, but you know? I feel like because that's legal already, it doesn't really scare me.
But there
as
was
much.
A time it wasn't legal.
Right? That's true.
I mean, and we have to think about that.
Yeah.
There was a time it wasn't legal. There was a time marijuana wasn't legal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now we're finding that it has all these medicinal healing purposes.
I feel like if you really need it, then you should use it, though. Like, if you're really in a lot of pain, then you should take the options that you have to, like, feel better.
Our kids, I mean, they use marijuana with epilepsy. Kids who have a lot of seizures, they're finding that that really does make a difference with their seizures. So something, here's a substance that I guess has had its pros and cons, but now they're seeing that it has some pros. And it does do, has some benefit, depending upon what your issue is.
I feel like if there's something wrong, then it's probably, like, healing the wrong. But if there's nothing wrong, then it could be causing damage, you know?
Okay. You tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, we are looking at drugs. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll return shortly.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned into 411 Teen, and I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I have the contingency from Florida High, Samantha Bickle, Isaiah Edwards, Ruby Castro, and Will Pfeiffer. We have been talking about drugs. We haven't talked about opioids, and that's what's really hitting the news right now. For you who don't know what opioids are, they are painkillers, okay? And it's sweeping the country. It's all over. So, I mean, we're having a lot of problems with opioids. Opioids, most people, are many other folks who have opioid addictions, started out legally, okay? Opioid is something that is given to you for a pain. You may have hurt your ankle or have a bad back or your neck, okay? But these are highly addictive medications. And so you take this for that pain and you become addicted and you're addicted. You need it. Your body starts craving it. And it's a problem, and I don't know how you all have missed it. It's a problem in lots of states. Florida is having a big problem with it. Well, one of the reasons Florida has problems with it, I mean, it's multifaceted, is that we have a lot of, especially in South Florida, a lot of clinics, opioid clinics. So people will come from other states. You know, Maine is having a big problem with it. Virginia, I mean, they're having problems all over. They'll come here to go into these opioid clinics and rehab. So we got a double dose of it. But you heard of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you see it a lot with athletes a lot of times because, you know, they've taken this medication and then they have developed an addiction.
So when you talk about opioids, are you talking about like
Oxy?
Oh, it's not like a specific drug.
It's not like a specific drug. So you're talking about like
painkillers,
like Tylenol,
Advil, ibuprofen,
but like all that stuff.
Well, not really.
But they're stronger than that. Yeah, they're not just Tylenol. It'll be Tylenol now, number three. Yeah, right.
Like hydrocodone kind of.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm. Oxycodone.
Prescription strength.
Percocet.
Are you talking about? Okay.
Yes.
I thought it was like a specific.
I thought you were talking about like a specific.
No, that's why I was like opioids.
So do you have like examples of what types of opioids are like the biggest problems right now?
I mean, I don't know what I know that was for her, but I'm just saying, I know when you said athletes, that really triggered my mind because this is gonna sound like very dumb, but after games or something, Advil, Tylenol, ibuprofen are my best friend, and and the next day after practice, I don't want to say I'm addicted, but I've like sometimes when you don't take it after a game, it's like, oh, I should. Yeah, you're very so. It's gonna say like it sounds bad.
I understand.
It's definitely they're nothing to joke about because they are pretty addictive. But I've never taken any serious opioids.
We're not just talking about the Tylenol off the shelf.
And that's the weaker cause.
We're talking about drugs that you have received a prescription for, that the doctor has written a prescription for it, okay? Because of your back or because of your knee or because of whatever, okay? You have sustained an injury.
Okay.
So you started these drugs, you know, legitimately, okay? And after continued use, you have developed an addiction for them. That's what I'm talking about. Now, everybody's light went on.
I'll
start here and I'll go around.
So, I have a personal friend of mine who they were in an accident one time and caused trauma or whatever. And they were prescribed it and they took it. And they said that the first day they took it, they went into class and their head was spinning because they were just tired. And now they're used to it. Because they was prescribed it for this many times, and they ran out, and the pain wasn't there anymore, but the feeling of wanting it again was there. But they're good now, but that was like their serious, and it wasn't opioid. I didn't even think of it.
That's exactly what we're talking about, Will. Excellent example.
Thank you.
It is. Now, do you all understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, like, for my sister, she broke her tibia.
Okay.
And, like, it was, like, really bad pain for her because she had been experiencing pain for a while, and we would go to the doctor, and they were just like, oh, she's fine. And so, like, they just thought it was growing pains, and, like, she would take, like, simple, like, Advils and stuff to, like, help her. And, like, eventually it got to the point where she would have to take, like, 3 or 4 Advils to, like control the pain. And then finally, like, when she broke it, it was like, there was something wrong. And so she was in a lot of pain, and the doctors prescribed her, like, really strong drugs because, like, just giving her, like, prescription strength wasn't even enough anymore. Like, they had to do more because she was taking the Advil before, and, like, she still felt pain. And then even, like, after her, like, knee had healed, she just, like, she wouldn't, like, we would ask her if she was in pain. She'd be like, no, but, like, I don't know, like, what's, like, she didn't know how to explain it. She didn't know what was going on, but she just, like, at a certain time, she'd just say, I need to take the pills. Like, I don't know, like, what's happening to me. But, like, she didn't feel normal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, slowly, like, we had to, like, do things to, like, distract her. Like, we had to, like, be like, oh, let's go do this or let's go do that or, like, let's go eat. And, like, we just had to distract her from, like, saying, like, no, like, those, like, you can't have those, but we can go do this.
Mm-hmm. I, like, kind of have, like, a similar story, but it's, like, kind of different. I know people, like, a lot of people take, like, antidepressants, too, nowadays because they're, like, finding more research about, like, anxiety and, like, all these different things that people are feeling nowadays. And personally, at the beginning of the school year, I, like, started having a lot of anxiety about, like, not knowing where I'm going or, like, the fear of not having a plan anymore because of leaving and senior year and everything. And I'd have, like, a lot of anxiety attacks about it. So I, like, went to the doctor and they prescribed me an antidepressant. But eventually, like, I didn't like how the feeling it was making me feel, like I had to take it. So I went back, and they were like, well, you can, like, try to do without it. So I, like, decided to do without it because I didn't like the feeling of having to feel like I have to take this medicine to, like, be okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'll talk about it from, like, probably, like, a sports aspect of it. Like, when most guys are, like, playing sports, like, I say from professional or college level, because I have some friends who play college football and that nature, and they say they've witnessed some guys in the locker room who come in and that are banged up pretty bad, and then they know they're hurt, and then they'll eventually hurt themselves, like, mm-hmm. like Ruby said, like, they'll actually hurt themselves, mm-hmm. and then they'll go to the doctor, and the doctor would prescribe them some painkillers and things of that nature, and then they'll take them, and then they'll feel better, but, like, in certain types of practice, they're like, okay, I know it doesn't hurt, but I need to go take this pill to, like, to be able to play. Like, I feel like I'm hurt that yeah. bad that
it
I need to go play.
That they can perform better.
That mm-hmm. perform better. They so they need pain. To go take it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even it's, though they don't feel anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a performance enhancing drug.
Yeah, but it's
legal.
Not.
It's
but it's
not.
Legal.
But they think it is. Yeah. They feel yeah, like it is.
It's a mentality.
Yeah. And I think that actually, like, kind of happened to me one time. We were playing districts, like, 2 years ago in soccer, and I got hurt pretty bad. Like, my calf, like, it was, like, purple. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. So, like, I had the trainer look at it, and he was just like, I mean, I don't think you should play, but I'm really stubborn when it comes to that. Like, I'm just like, I can do this. Like, even if, like, they don't want to do anything to help me, I'll just be like, it doesn't hurt. Like, I'll walk on it, and I'll pretend like it's okay, but, like,
you athletes.
Inside, no, yeah. inside, it will be
athletes.
Killing me. And so, like, I'm really good. Stubborn, and so I played that game, and, like, there was one point where I just, like, walked off the field because, like, I felt so much pain, and then, so I just, like, went in my bag and took, like, 4 Advils, and, like, I felt nothing in, like, 30 minutes, and so I was like, this is great. And, like, I played the best game that I have ever had.
It's like,
and so, like, the next game,
like,
no, whenever the next time I played a game, like, I took them and I was like, this is great. Like, somebody would hit me really bad, and, like, it just, like, it'd be like,
wouldn't feel a thing.
I'd be like, yeah. I'm okay. And so, like, I just think that it's, yeah, I just think it also, like, just, like, helps, like, it is kind of like a sports enhancer. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're not, like,
mm-hmm.
you don't feel like what a normal person would feel. Like, somebody mm-hmm. could punch you, and you'd be like, I'm yeah. okay. Yeah.
So what I hear you all saying is that you understand how athletes
yes.
can get caught up in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, like, the similar story to Ruby. We were playing Jefferson. I think we were playing Jefferson County in basketball. And the game prior, I had bumped shins with somebody, and it was, like, a big bruise or a big bump, and, like, I couldn't walk on it. Like, I couldn't walk on my shin. So I got one of my friends, and he had, like, some Advil or some, like, some Tylenol. I think it was
Tylenol, number three or something.
It was, no, it was Motrin. Okay. He gave me some Motrin, mm-hmm. and I took some Motrin to heal the pain, something. And then I got back out there, and I could play for the rest of the game. After the game, I'm talking about it was throbbing. It felt real bad.
Once it goes away,
like, you feel it.
Like, when I came back home that day after I played, it was like I had played the whole game, and then everybody was, like, congratulating us because we won, and so, like, we were there for a little bit, and we went to go eat. I got home, like, at midnight, and, like, I couldn't go to sleep.
It
hurt so bad. But then I still kept on practicing
right.
because I was like, if I take this, it'll be okay. And, like, so I just kept on practicing, and, like, my parents would ask me, like, are you okay? And I'd be like, I'm fine. Like, I can prove it to you. Like, I'd walk around,
right.
I'd run. I'd be in the worst pain of my life, but I'd just be like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, with my face, like, just like.
That's why I like baseball. Yeah. Not contact.
Yeah.
I don't get, like, caught up in those.
And, like, that happened, like, the second game. The same game of the season. And, like, I was playing on a hurt shin the whole season. Like, I'm still, I know it's there, but, like, I don't want to go get it checked out because I feel like.
You're gonna tell me I have a messed up shin,
and then I don't need to hear that right now. But,
like, I know it's messed up.
Right.
I don't want you to tell me
it's messed up. So. Like, the season went on, but, like, with ice, and I would ice it and heat it and treat it. And it wouldn't hurt as bad until, like, you know, you're in the game and you go for a layup and then
somebody comes back and you land and then it
reappears and then mm-hmm. you need to go sit out or you need to ice it on the bench or somebody like do you need some Advil? Do you need some and I'll just push through it because like I'll put it away and I was like I'll push through it, but I mean painkillers and stuff of that nature it can become pretty addicting in the sports area. Yeah, I know for a fact.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. You look like you want to say something.
I know a lot of people take them for headaches too, mm-hmm. but or Advil I think it is for headaches.
Yeah,
I guess.
They take something.
They take Excedrin, maybe.
I take a nap.
But I feel like some people take it to, like, prevent them, but they don't already have one.
Yes.
Mm. So, like, they're thinking, oh, if I take this, I won't have one. But some people take it, like, once they get the headaches.
I also agree with that because I know some girls, like, in like specifically girls, whenever they're, like, on their menstrual period,
mm-hmm.
they like, sometimes they'll get, like, really bad cramps to where they do have to take, like, a painkiller. But there are some times where, like, they say that they're fine, but they end up taking the painkillers anyways because they're like, oh, well, if I take them now, like, I won't feel them later.
But
it's, like, something that they think that's going to prevent them from having pain. But, like, the pain's still going to be there, like, eventually if they are having pain.
Right.
Wow. Where do you all get information about drugs? And I mean the whole gamut of drugs. I mean, is there a class that you take in school? Do you just happen to... just happenstance wherever. I mean, give me a break.
I mean, I found you get your first piece of a taste of what drugs and alcohol are. I guess when you take your driver's class. I mean, people know that like DARE.
Florida High decided to do this great thing called advisory.
Oh, yes.
Last year.
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty sure if we had 30 Wednesdays, I'm pretty sure 15 of them were all on
drugs.
Learning about drugs, alcohol, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff. So schools do teach it.
Good information? I mean, did you really learn about
it?
It was good information, was but
it
I don't real? Feel like
it could have been relayed better.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just more like, go on a computer, take this course.
Okay.
They're going to ask you questions about it. You answer them. I think that it put us more in an uncomfortable position because it was asking, like, have you done this? Or, right. like,
it wasn't teaching us, it was threatening us.
Right.
And, like, I don't know, I take health science at mm-hmm. school, so, like, I do learn about those drugs and, like, how they're very helpful to people with certain disabilities, yeah. with right. certain illnesses. And so a lot of me tells me, like, we can't take these away from people. But, like, part of me is, like, we need to put a limit to where people take these drugs.
How would you all, what would you say to parents, teachers, administrators? Because you just talked about the Florida High effort. And because I think they would really want to hear, they really want to make a difference. I mean, they really want to educate you. What kinds of things would you tell them to do? How would you change the curriculum? I mean, what should they do to help you all get a real feel as opposed to going on the computer, you know, Samantha?
I would say for teachers, I would say to really try and make a connection with your students. So if they're in the situation where they're coming to, like, pressure of having...
How do they do that, though? I mean, when you say try to make a connection, what do I do as a teacher? How do I convey to you that I really am not being judgmental, that I really am invested in you, and I want to educate you? I mean, really, how do you, because I think that's important.
I would say, well, I came really, I had a really close connection with my video productions teacher
mm-hmm.
because he would always ask me, like, how my day's going. Like, we'd have, like, small talk, and then I, like, became comfortable with him because him, like, asking me about my day made it seem like he really cares about me.
Okay. So just kind of engaging in just kind of normal, everyday conversation, doesn't have to be academic.
Not just being your teacher, like right. actually like trying to like right. get to know you kind of.
Any other suggestions in this last 30 seconds?
I would say make it relatable. Like, teachers, you can make it relatable. Like, I know you've been through it. You've been through the teenage years of your life, and you know the pressures of what's going to happen in teenagers. Like, make it relatable. Like, relate if you have a story, them. If you have a story that you can share about what's happened with you doing this such and such and such, and the bad outcome of it, and what it does to you in the long run, damn make me. It relatable to the kids. Then the kids will probably listen.
Okay, well, you know, we're out of time. We're talking about how we always run out of time, and I do appreciate your candor. I thank you for sharing the information. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.